Blog Talk Radio.
Never mind the stars in the sky. Never mind the when and the why. Got a feeling higher than high. This is the real thing.
Welcome to another episode, 2018, New Love Unlimited Radio Show. I am your host, AJ, and my beautiful co-host, Miss LaShawn. We are here in 2018, January 11th. Can you believe it's already almost the middle of the month already? And we are going to continue speaking about Miss LaShawn, my co-host, about her new book, which is called I Am Not an Option, A Woman's Guide to Self-Love and Relationships. And before we get started, I would like to let everybody know, all of our callers, you've been doing so well. Thank you for following us on Twitter. We're still hanging in there, just under 7,000 followers, but I want to say thank you so much for following us. And we want you to continue to share our radio show in your network and all of your social media. And the live show, you can call in at 347-843-4559. And if you'd like to be able to make an announcement or be able to just say hello to the show, to Miss LaShawn or myself, then you can go ahead and click one and the star sign to be placed in the queue. And our executive producer, Kevin, will notify, let everybody know that We're going to mention the last four digits of your phone number only, okay? For security purpose, the last four digits of your phone number will be mentioned. And so we want you to pay attention and listen for your last four digits, and I'll let you know you will be in queue and you will be on the live show. And I want to say thank you so much for sharing your time with us, especially in the evenings. We know how busy it is, especially the beginning of the year. And I'm hoping everybody's working on their New Year's resolution. Miss LaShawn, how are you this evening?
I am fabulous. How are you, darling?
I am, you know what? I am awesome. I am awesome. I am so grateful to be able to see another year. And I am looking forward to some great things this year. And it's a pleasure always working with you. So that's, you know, I can't have a bad day when I'm working with you.
No, how sweet. How sweet. You know, I was talking to someone, a friend of mine, a little while ago, and he said, happy 2000 great teen. He said, because I'm claiming this, that this is really going to be a great year. And I thought that was cute. So I'm going to steal it.
I like that.
You know, just, yes, yes.
Yeah, some things are worth stealing. I like that. And you know what I've been focusing on? Once again, LaShawn's book, A Woman's Guide to, I Am Not an Option, A Woman's Guide to Self-Love and Relationships. I have pretty much have finished the book. And I have had so much pleasure as a black male. I have received a lot of information from this book. It's a great reference tool. I'm going to tell you that right now. It's a great reference book. And I want everyone to be able to, this is the beginning of the year now. The holidays are over, but I'm going to tell you something right now. You need to go ahead and indulge and get this book. Ms. LaShawn, let our listening audience, let them know how they can get a copy of your book.
They can order their copy, whether you want an electronic copy or a paperback copy. Just go to IamNotAnOption.com. That's IamNotAnOption.com. You can order your copy today. You can also go to my website, which is LaShawnMcQuarrie.com. That's LaShawn, M as in Mary, CCRARY.com. You can get your copy through my main website as well. And make sure that you follow me on social media as well. There is also a little link on there for you guys to follow us for Love Unlimited Radio, but I want you guys to follow me personally as well. So make sure that you do. My social media handle is my name, LaShawn McQuarrie, across all social media platforms. So make sure that you connect with me.
And for the Twitter for the Love Unlimited Radio show, you can go ahead and go at Love UNL Radio. And like I said, we're doing pretty good. We've got, like I said, 6,851 followers. And our goal by the end of this month, or say, let's say by February 14th on Valentine's Day, we want to be at 10,000 followers. That's what we're going to, that's going to be our goal for February 14th. You know, LaShawn, let me tell you something that's been on my mind reading your book, and also from, we had a guest last week. Young lady that actually I'm going to see her this weekend because we have the 18th annual here in Tampa, the 18th annual Black Heritage Festival, and I'm going to see a couple of the celebrities that have been on our that's actually part of our clientele along with Miss Ivy Box. But I got a question for you, LaShawn. When you as a life coach, and what made you actually enter into that field as a life coach? I'm sure there's a lot of things that were happening to you naturally that made you gravitate to that. And the reason I'm asking is because I have, since I've been reading your book, I have had a great interest. I've always had it, but I have a greater interest now about black marriages, the future of black marriages. And I was interested, you know, what I was finding that the guest that we've had last week, Miss Ivy Box, and here she's writing a, you know, she wrote a book, you know, that was catering towards women as well. What is it that's happening in the atmosphere? Why do you think there are more African-American sisters that are writing about relationship books? Because it's got to be something going on. It's got to be some kind of trend or something that's happening as a result of this. And in your opinion, what do you think that's happening?
Well, you know, that's a great question, actually. And it seems like there's just a lot going on in the world, period. When you look at certain things, and I don't want to dive too much into politics, but when you look at the president and, you know, people in Hollywood and the whole Me Too campaign. There are so many things that are happening when we talk about just women and relations with themselves and when it comes to our connections with men and different experiences that we have had with men. And I just see where right now the world is in a really great place where we get the opportunity to heal. And I know a lot of people are looking at some of the things that have happened as negative, but I actually see them as an opportunity for growth and the healing that needs to take place. So for all of the men that have been, you know, different accusers have come forward about certain things that have happened many years ago, that all plays into the structure and the strength of women really beginning to speak their truth and get their voice back. And it's interesting that all of this is happening at a time when, you know, my book, because that's basically the foundation of it, is teaching women how to speak their truth, how to live more authentically. And when we do that, it makes it a little bit easier, not easy, but it makes it a little bit easier when we become a victim to step up and to speak out. And, you know, there are so many different things because, you know, the world is a much different place, you know, than it was years ago. And, you know, women, we're developing that courage to say, no, I was done wrong. And, you know, we're going to make this right. So it's just a really, really great time. I mean, it just feels like a really ripe season for women to just truly step into their power. And when I say that, I don't mean it as a negative where some people see women empowerment as, you know, women having bad attitudes and being very negative. And, you know, it's none of that at all, but it's more of a stance of loving ourselves unconditionally and knowing that we deserve to be loved and respected as we are constantly giving these things out to the world.
Okay. And let me ask you this, with this, all of this is happening, what in your opinion do you think the future as far as black marriages? Because there has been definitely, and it's been noted, and it's definitely a major decline as far as black marriages, and especially for black professional women. What do you think that needs to be addressed in regards to being able to increase that in the near future? Because I think because of what's going on around the world, but basically I'm specifically talking about America right now, where we reside. I believe in black love, and I have a little different standpoint because I have a major interest in black history. And when I say black history, I'm not talking about just American black history. We're talking about black history that goes all the way back, you know, all the way back to the ancient Egyptian cultures, where man started. And one of the things that I found, I just had this conversation with a lady in my age group, with a man and a lady, just yesterday. We were in the gym. And I was actually just getting ready to leave, and it's a black woman, older woman, in her probably in her late 50s, early 60s, and I've seen her quite a few times, but I just never really talked to her. And then I found out she's actually a friend of another associate that I work with, and so he introduced me to her, and we were just talking, and it's so ironic that we were speaking about the future of relationships, which was so ironic. And so I think this, like I said, there's a trend that's going on, and people are becoming more concerned about where we're going to end up. My biggest thing is I wish that as a whole, that the black community across the board would take the time to research exactly where we came from as a whole, as an entire culture. Because I think that once they would understand that we had prominent black queens and African men that were working together and that actually created this great civilization that reigned for over 3,000 years, and it was the longest civilization in existence. And the thing is there wasn't this relationship between the black men really respected the women. I mean, highly in high regard. And I noticed that as man has become more commercialized, so now I'm going to move up into a modern age. As men become more commercialized, he has this tendency of wanting to control things. And one example is, if you go back and look at the history of wars around the world, what wars were actually started by females or by women? Now, women may start fights, but they don't start wars. And as a whole, women have always been there to be able to pick up the pieces with all the things that men have done. They have always been there to basically to take care of our wounds. They've always been there to be able to support us as a whole. And now this is their time. I look at the things that they have done. I look at some of my favorite people of our age, like Michelle Obama. I look at the things of Oprah, what she's done. And these are very, very powerful women who understood their strength. They understood their power. And at the same time, they were able to sustain long-term relationships with their counterparts. And I think that these are the models. These are the people that we need to understand and look at, the things that they're able to accomplish. And I'm just going to put it out there. One thing you do know about me, I'm not afraid of putting it out there. And I think one of the biggest problems in our culture is other civilizations, I'm not going to be specifically just on one, but I think other civilizations are so afraid of what the black man and a black woman have been able to accomplish together. I think it's fear. And I think what has happened is that that fear has been instilled in us, where we don't no longer really work together. We're too busy competing with each other. And I think once we get past that fear, just like what you're saying about your book about self-love, because see, self-love is universal. And once we understand about self-love, there's no reason to fear. There is no reason to fear others. There's no reason to fear, because God is the only thing. And quite honestly, I really don't fear God. I feel the love of God every day. I don't really fear God. I feel you should fear God, but I really don't. The only thing that I fear is basically not doing the right thing. So going right back again, my question to you is, do you think that things are going to, what direction do you think we're going as a whole, as far as the black community, as far as the relationships between a black man and a black woman? Where do you think we're headed?
Well, I personally think that we're headed in a wonderful direction. And
Okay. Here's
the thing, a lot of people, again, they see what's happening right now as it can only get worse or it can only decline. When the truth of the matter is, typically before anyone steps up and gets better, everything looks bad. You know, when you're
That's
going
true.
Through a process of healing, everything looks bad. So knowing that, I'm actually very encouraged, and I actually think things are going to turn out very wonderful, because what happens is, as women begin to step up and own their power and speak their truth, the world around us begins to change. So
that's true.
If I, as a woman, step up and then I begin to teach these things to other women and they begin to step up, men begin to follow suit. So, and it's not about, you know, being trying to run over a man or being in charge of a man. It's just simply us being accountable for our own actions. So if we say that we are a woman and we believe that we were meant to be a wife and that we are going to be married, then we set our standards and we release the fear of being alone. We release any fears that we have that's preventing us from having a happy, healthy relationship. So then what happens is, when you meet a man and you can say to him, you don't want a relationship, that's fine, it was nice meeting you, I gotta go. So we're not wasting our time on the ones that don't want what we want. Because what happens so much to black love is that women have allowed men to get away with so much that now everybody just wants to get away with everything. You know, and I've even heard women say, you know, to me, and I've heard guys say it as well, that I don't have to do anything because the women make it so easy. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to show up. well, now that the women have gotten to the point where they're tired and this whole process has exhausted us to the point where now we're deciding, you know what, I think I need to do something different. This fear of a man with multiple women, this does not suit me. I am not going to stand for this. And as we begin to shift more to our power plate, men will begin to fall in line. But so long as they don't have to, then they're not going to. So, that, you know, there has to be a restructuring process. And it's going to take some time. This isn't going to happen overnight. And so now once we have more black marriages, we have more fathers that are in the household, because that's another big problem that we have, is that we have too many women that are raising men by themselves. And even though I believe that these women do the best that they possibly can, there's something that only a man can give a son. The mother can try, and she can put a lot of really great things into her son, but we really need these father figures to come back into the household and to be present, even if they're not in the same household, but for men to really show up in the lives of their sons. And as we have more of that, as that begins to occur, things will change. So I'm very hopeful.
That's good. You know, and I am too, because I understand that everything happens in cycles. Everything in the world is happens in cycles. And I realize that it's just like the calm before a storm. Well, you know, we're heading into a storm, and then there's also going to be a calm after that. And it's all about progress. But at the same time, when we do head into this, the next 3 years are going to be very, very crucial. There's going to be a lot of things that are going on financially, you know, and I'm not going to get that deep into it, but there's a lot of things that are coming. And for us to go from a president like Barack Obama to a President Trump, I mean, you're talking about just totally two separate scales, from one totally in one scale and one to the other. I mean, there's not even no middle ground. I mean, so that just tells you exactly, you know, the conscience of where America is, because there's no middle ground to that. They didn't go from, high end to the middle.
But again, look for the beauty in even that, because in order for us to heal, we have to know where we are. We have to know what we're dealing with. You look at any 12-step program, they always start with the person has to stand up and admit where they are. I am an alcoholic. I am, a crack addict. I am whatever it is. We have to start there. So now that we know where everybody is, okay, let's move on.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can just get, enough people that are on that wave of saying, okay, I realize that maybe I have some racist tendencies, or I realize whatever it is, whatever the thing is, and we're going to take it back to relationships. You know, I realize that I have been doing things that are not beneficial to me in relationships. When we can do that and begin to rein everything back in, everything is going to be much better. So we just have to get ourselves to that point. So again, where it looks like all hope is lost and, oh my gosh, how much worse can it get? Can it get a little worse? Yes, it can. And it may. It may get a little bit worse before it gets better, but it's still going to get better, because as you put it earlier, everything happens in cycles. And it does. So this is just one of the cycles in life. We need to filter this through so that the healing process can begin.
I think part of the healing process, though, is getting to relationships and getting relationships to become much better. That's part of the healing process, because that is what makes a country. It's the culture. Once a culture starts thriving, then everything else starts, it creates a balance. So I think that once we start developing better relationships between men and women, I think it's just as a whole, I think things are going to be a lot better.
And you know what, I'm sorry, before you leave that thought, but there's a preliminary phase to that, and that's becoming better individuals. And this is
correct.
Why
when I was just going to mention
about
that.
Coaching, yeah, you know, it really does. It starts with us as individuals before we get into relationships, because there's a whole lot of people in relationships, and all
right.
of them don't look so good. there's a lot of relationships going on, but there's not enough love going around.
Correct.
There's not enough committed relationships. There aren't enough marriages. And when you talk about black love, that's something that has been on the decline. But, yes, the possibility for that to swing back up and for things to come together, I think they will. And even when I don't know how familiar you are, but there's a song on Jay-Z's new album where he talks about that and how Beyonce matured before him and some of the, you know, the things that he's done throughout his lifetime, and expressing, you know, that he needed to change, that there was growth that needed to take place in him. And I thought that that was a really, really wonderful thing, because if someone that's in the spotlight can step up and look at his life, then it encourages other people who are not in the spotlight, because the majority of us are not in the spotlight. So now they can say, okay, well, Jay is taking this road. What do I need to do in my life? You know, so, you know, again, we just need to work together on this. And over time, yes, it evolves from the individual to the couple, and now we have this beautiful, wonderful community. So it can happen.
It's going to happen. Okay, we're going to take our first break, and when we come back, we're going to continue with our conversation, and we're going to get back into the book of LaShawn's book, which is, I'm hoping that you guys are taking the time and getting the book, and we got to talk about what we're supposed to be doing first part of the year, such as a book trivia. So we need to talk about that as well. So we'll see you very shortly in our when we come right back from our break.
Welcome to the Love Unlimited radio show. This new show will offer listeners a unique perspective that will come from both married and single individuals who are trying desperately to find and maintain that true love that everyone so much desires. Dating shows are nothing new, but they're nearly always entertaining. Some of the most weird and awkward moments in dating are often not seen or mentioned. The question is, how many people in America ever find true love? I would guess not a high percentage, but that sure doesn't mean we don't keep trying at any age.
The Love Unlimited radio show, hosted by AJ and LaShawn, will give you the real scoop in a positive perspective. We will discuss those topics that most tend to keep to themselves or just too embarrassed to talk about. Everything from online dating, marriages, divorces, along with conversations from LaShawn's new book, I'm Not an Option. This show is provocative and informative, giving our listeners an interactive voice they can use to help find that true love.
Tune in each week as we will discuss topics and conduct interviews on love and relationships in the new millennium. You can hear us directly on your smartphones each week by dialing 347-843-4559. Once again, that's 347-843-4559. Or follow us on Twitter at LoveUNL Radio. Thanks for listening.
There's no safer place than to be in love. and here I will stand. And there ain't never, ain't gonna never, ever leave you.
No matter what the people say, I'm gonna love you anyway.
No matter what the people say,
even if we puff up,
even if we
get it right.
Welcome back, everyone. We are here on the Love Unlimited Radio Network, and we have been discussing, actually, you know, we were talking about the future of black marriages, and you know something, I think that what LaShawn was saying about at the end of the day, we need to continue to work on self-love, because once we understand what self-love really means, that is what makes us grow. That's nurturing our own seed is actually what it is. And when you're able to nurture your own seed and be able to grow, then you're able to attract, you know, your blossoms. You'll be able to blossom into a much better person, and you want to attract better people in your lives. And so I think it is really, really important. But, you know, I have a interesting chapter in LaShawn's book, chapter 11. I would like to talk a little bit about that. And before I do, is there anything that you'd like to address in regards to your book, LaShawn? Because I never really asked you that. I'm always asking you and critiquing about what you have in your book. Is there anything that you'd like to address this evening?
You know what? No. I think we're good. You've been asking some really great questions, and I'm sitting here flipping through the book now myself. I was like, okay, where are we going tonight? Chapter 11.
Yeah, chapter 11 on January 11th. Ain't that something?
Yes, yes. Very fitting, very fitting. All right, so where are we going with this?
What men don't want us to know. Now, that is definitely twofold, and the first chapter where men want a woman who will make them better. That is so on point. That truly is. And in your experiences as far as your personal relationship, now, you know what? I'm not even going to talk about your past relationship. Let's talk about your current relationship. What is it about that relationship? Why do you think your current fiancé or your soon-to-be husband, what is it about you that makes him a better man?
Ooh, that is a great question. And I touched on this a little bit in the book when I asked him, this is when we were just still dating and before we got engaged. And I remember asking him one day, you know, what made him decide to choose me? And his response was, you allow me to be me, you know, that he can just basically be himself. And I think that in order to help any person be better, just giving them the space and the voice to really be who they are. And I mean the pretty stuff, the funny stuff, even the ugly or the indifferent stuff. You know, but just really allowing the person to be who they are. Because at the end of the day, we're never going to find somebody that's 100% every single thing that we want. You know, there's always going to be something about that person that maybe we don't care for. So it's about finding the person whose stuff you can deal with. Because the things we love about them, we love about them. But it's their stuff that can become a problem in the relationship. And for him, I believe it was just, you know, me just being myself, of course. And so he was able to be himself. And what we found is that we had so many things in common that we actually improved each other's lives. And in addition to that, the things that, you know, maybe that we don't have in common. And I've shared this on the show before where he is a political junkie and a news junkie. And I'm like, ew, you know, like, why would you watch that? Why are you listening to that? You know, so there had to be a me being okay with him watching that whenever and however he feels like it. And then him accepting that I'm never going to be up on stuff, but I listen to it a little bit more now because I'm one of those people, just give me the facts. I don't want to hear 10,000 people's opinions about it. Just tell me, okay, we're going to a war in Iraq. 5,000 troops have been deployed. That's all I need to know. I don't need to know what you think, what the Democrats think, what the Republicans, what they, I don't want to hear any of that. And that's the part that I dislike about news. So now that we kind of have this basic understanding, it's just like, okay, he'll fill me in on the details so that, you know, when we feel like it, we can have a discussion about it, and it works. And so, again, he's being himself in the relationship. I'm being myself without one feeling like they need to change the other person. And so in that regard, we're helping each other be better people.
Let me ask you, LaShawn, do you think a man's ego really has to stay in check to maintain a healthy relationship with a woman?
Yep. That's an easy one. Yep. Yes. How many different languages can I say that in? Absolutely. But it really does get to the point where we realize that we are spiritual beings and we are having human experiences. And I know so many people, they've maybe heard that before, but they haven't really bought into it. So the ego, or some people like to call it the flesh, whatever terminology you like, use that. But when you begin to develop more as a spiritual being, and when you allow that to take precedent, the ego automatically begins to diminish. So you don't have to be constantly running around checking your ego if you're a man. Just, you know, wanting to develop and be better, you know, and having your connection with God, source, the divine, whatever you call it. But the more that you begin to focus on that relationship, you know, and any type of, you know, godly or wisdom principles, you begin to elevate yourself away from ego. And that's something, again, that when you allow somebody to be themselves, they begin to make that natural gravitation. Even if they weren't necessarily planning on it, it kind of just begins to unfold and happen that way.
Okay. And this is something that I'm curious. I've always been curious, and especially as I've gotten older, something that I've noticed in a lot of professional single women, pets. I noticed that when I see professional women that are not involved in relationships, but they have relationships with their pets, and they treat their pets like they're kids. And no matter how old the pet gets, I always thought that was kind of ironic. No matter how old the pet gets, you can have a dog that's like 13 years old, which is like an old man. And they still treat it like it's a little infant, not an infant, but like a toddler. You know, they still talk to it and, you know, like it's a toddler. And I find it interesting that when I see the relationship that they have with their pets, I noticed that it becomes a major priority. They're making sure that they're always doing what they have to do to take care of that particular pet of theirs. And then I noticed that when it comes to dealing with relationships, that do you feel that sometimes women have the tendency of making men feel like they have to take care of us? I guess what I mean by they don't allow us to really mature as men. They almost have this tendency of treating us like we're kids, like we're, you know, like with children. Do you ever find that as far as in your coaching, do you find that, you know, women have the tendency, especially, and I'm saying specifically pet owners too, because I noticed that there's a trend. A lot of professional women who put a lot of their love and attention into pets have the tendency of treating their mates the same way.
Well, I don't know the correlation between people that have pets and not. Women are natural nurturers. So the ones that love, whether it's cats or dogs, yes, they tend to baby them. That's their pet. It's something that they love. It's something that they're close to. It's something that they never have to worry about getting into an argument with or anything like that. So there's a comfort zone there. And it's not just with women, because I've also noticed that same trend with men when it comes to pets as well. Maybe not quite as much. I don't really see men dressing them up and, you know, putting boots on them and hats.
No, we don't. No, we really don't do that.
That part's a little different, right. But there's still, you know, the nurturing, because it's just pure love. You know, if you're feeling down, your pet is going to come, or at least with dogs, not necessarily with cats, but your pet is going to come and comfort you. You know, if you're in a good mood, they're always happy to see you. So, you know, there's just something about just the always loving you. You know, no matter
that's
what
that,
you do,
that's that
pet,
unconditional.
Pet always loves you. Yeah, it's that feeling of that unconditional love, even if it's, you know, just coming from a pet and, you know, and not a spouse or a mate, it's still the feeling of the love. And so people love that. So that you know, kind of talks about that situation. But now let's talk about the other part where you say women, you know, maybe taking a mothering tone to men. And, you know, it's interesting because I've heard so many men say that, you know, well, we're really just big kids. And, you know, and so that makes it a challenge, because if you're really a big kid, that part of you that acts like a big kid brings out the mothering principle within women. And this is why, you know, when I talk to people, especially guys, I say, hey, guys, be careful with that. Because if you don't want her to act like your mother, then you cannot act like her child. You're acting like her child, she's going to show up more in your relationship like your mother. You know, and you know, and especially with, you know, traditionally the roles of a wife and a mother, they're pretty much the same thing with the exception of sex. But there's the cooking, there's the cleaning, there's the doctor's appointments, everything that a man's mother did when he was growing up, men expect the wife to now take over those roles and those responsibilities. So again, there's really this area where women, it's kind of difficult. You know, because again, if she's showing up too much as mother in instead of wife, it becomes a problem for the man. And so, you know, I'll hear guys say, you know, don't talk to me like you're my mother, and, you know, watch the way you talk to me. And I completely understand that, because he doesn't want her to be his mother. So
right.
You know, both parties really have to come together as a couple and discuss it. Discuss it, you know. Yeah, I can baby you a little bit. But again, since you're my husband and not my son, I'm going to need you to show up a little differently. And I'll also add to this, AJ, for all the single mothers out there, be careful with babying your sons too much. Because if you're doing a lot of babying with him, and I understand he may be your baby, but eventually you want that man to grow up and be somebody's husband. With that being said, you know, be careful that you're not weakening him as a man, but you're actually helping him become strong. Ask other men. You know, I've talked to men that have dated women, and they're just like, oh, my gosh, LaShawn, the way she interacts with her son, it drives me up a wall. It drives
me up a wall.
Oh, my gosh. You know, I'm
going through it.
I'm trying to say certain things to her to help her because we're not necessarily close enough for us to be in a relationship. And I've heard many guys say that they've actually backed out of relationships because they just didn't want to deal with it. You know, they're just like, I can't put up with this. This is going to be too much of a fight just getting in the door. So not only do I have to argue with her about the son, I got to argue with her, I got to argue with the son. And if the father ever pops up, now we have a whole nother issue to deal with. So, you know, there really has to be some balance there. So, you know, ladies, do your best. You know, when you hear a man say, hey, you know, make your son take out the trash and, you know, and have him step up and have him do certain things, listen to those men. When you know that they care about you, they care about your son, and they really have your best interest in heart, listen to them. Because the male aspect, you cannot bring that to your son. You really do need some guidance and a little bit of help from a guy. And be okay with that, ladies. That doesn't make you a bad mother. It doesn't make you weak. It just means that there's something else that your sons need that you're unable to provide. You know, take that help. Take that advice.
Excellent. Well, you know what? We're going to head right into our second break. And, Kevin, we're going to go take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to go ahead and continue. And I love this chapter that it's in LaShawn's book. And I'm just going to stress everyone, please get the book. And, LaShawn, we got to talk about the trivia. And we got to start introducing this to this show and get people much more involved and get them interactive in that. And we'll talk more about that on when we come back from our break.
Great.
Get ready. Function's 45-year anniversary cruise, hosted by radio personality Connie Breeze. This five-day cruise leaving from New Orleans, traveling to Cozumel and Yucatan, includes live entertainment from the legendary R&B artist Confunction, Brit, Terrell, Wait, There's More, the voice of Steve Arrington, Yarbrough and Peoples, Club Nouveau, and Miss Superwoman herself, Karen White.
Register for your tickets today for this 45th anniversary cruise package and event, May 12th to 17th, 2018. Available only through Annie's Fantasy Cruises.
Call 844-855-3386. Once again, that is 844-855-3386. Or download the Confunction app from the Play Store or iTunes to reserve your tickets.
Reserve your tickets today by calling 844-855-3386.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Love Unlimited Radio Network, and we are talking about LaShawn's new book, I Am Not an Option, A Woman's Guide to Self-Love and Relationships. And once again, I want to remind all of our listeners, if you want to... We encourage you to become interactive with us, and we want you to be able to call into the show at 347-843-4559. Click the number 1 along with the star sign to be placed in the queue. And once you're placed in the queue, Kevin will announce the last 4 digits of your phone number. And the 4 digits, once that is announced, you need to identify that. So listen carefully, and then he's going to let you know that you are on live on the show. So we'd like for you to be able to call in and discuss, you know, about the topic. You want to make any comments? I definitely have a comment on the last thing that LaShawn was saying, because she is absolutely on point. I remember a particular a woman that I was interested in, and it was some time ago, and she was a beautiful girl. And the thing about it was, see, for me, what's major for me outside of just the outer beauty is that substance. I'm very attracted. I have to have a woman that has substance. It, you know, that whole physical thing is just, you know, that comes and goes very quickly. But one of the biggest hurdles that I could not get past is that every single time that I would come around this woman, everything that came out of her mouth was all about her children. And she had two adult children, and she had a son and a daughter, and the son was close to 30 years of age and basically was not taking care of himself very well, and he had children. And so there was always money going out, you know, towards him, try to help, you know, with him, the grandkids. He couldn't keep a job. And that's really what it came down to. He just could not keep a job. And I noticed that every single time that we would try to do something, there was always money had to be, you know, can I borrow some money? And I knew exactly where it was going, you know. And, you know, it's one thing to be able to help somebody, to assist someone, but it's another thing is when you feel like you're being used to be able to just take care of somebody else's child. And don't get me wrong, I love kids. I love children. But when you got a grown person that is not handling their responsibility, and the mother is basically you know, taking care of that responsibility. Now, if it's a temporary situation, yeah, I got that. You know, everybody can use a leg up, you know, to get back on their feet. But when it becomes such a consistent situation where it just becomes a regular thing, it you know, I saw that as you're not allowing your child to grow up, you know. And basically, you're doing everything for him, just like what LaShawn was saying. There is a percentage that you can help somebody, but you, and especially men, you know, because men, we have to. Women are attracted to men that can hold their own. If you want to have a good woman in your life, you got to hold your own. You have to. Because at the end of the day, if you're not able to maintain yourself and hold your own, you can't do anything for her. You know, and, you know, for me, I still had that old school mentality where I really feel, and I mentioned this on the show before, I really feel for me to be in a position to be able to call a woman my wife and give her my last name, I have to be able to take care of her. And what I mean by that, it's not just the financial situation, which is really, that is important, but I have to be able to take care of her in all aspects. Now, just like you're saying that, it goes both ways. Sometimes you can be the father of a woman. You know, sometimes you could be, have to be very careful not to be her daddy.
You know, right. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we like to hear that in certain cases. But overall, though, we have to, you know, there's a balance to everything. You know, there really is, because at the end of the day, a lot of us, especially in the Black community, was not raised by both parents, by both biological parents, and including myself. And I've seen a lot of single mothers out here have done an excellent job raising their kids, and the kids have become, you know, professional. They're, you know, doing their thing. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's really important, just like what LaShawn says, it's really important for every child to have to be able to have both parents, a mother and a father, to be able to intervene or be able to interact in their lives. It's really important, because there's certain things that a man is going to give to a son that a woman is not going to be able to give, and vice versa. There's things that a mother is going to be able to give to a daughter that a man is not going to be able to give. And so it takes two people. It takes a male and a female to create, to procreate, and that's by God. That's by nature. So if that's by nature, then of course it's going to take both of them to be able to really raise a child, you know, and do it successfully. Not saying that a single parent hasn't, because there has been quite a few of them, but trust me, it's wear and tear. It is very, very difficult for a lot of these mothers out here that are having, you know, raising their children and without having that that male companion, or having that father. And I think that's one of the things too that it reflects on personal relationships, because as we get older and as we start growing, myself, I can speak for me. I didn't have a father from the time I was, my parents got divorced when I was 13, and I was actually on my own when I was 15. But I didn't realize how much of an impact it made on my personal relationships until I was in my mid-20s. When I was in my mid-20s, I started realizing that there were things that was missing as far as my development skills. Not having that father there, or not having that uncle or that father or that grandfather to be able to tell me certain things or be able to coach me, so to speak. And I had to learn that the hard way. And so, but one of the things I found is, and it's interesting how the universe works. One of the things I found, what I was missing, that void in my life, I was attracted to women who had relationships with their fathers. I was attracted to women who had both parents. And it was so funny, because I always ended up with 95% of the time, I always ended up with the women who had relationship with both of their parents. And I think that was just the vibe that I was sending out, because it was a void, but that was my way of being able to get that, you know, be able to fill that. And so I was able to learn. And so what happened was, I remember one particular relationship that I was in, I actually became so close to her father, he became like a dad to me. And to this day, He passed away about five years ago. And to this day, I still have his picture in my wallet. To this day, I still have his picture.
Nice.
And he was my best friend. He was my best friend. And so he's always going to be in my heart. And I still have to this day, even though her and I are no longer together, but I still have a good relationship with her and her entire family. Every holiday, we're still always communicating with each other. They're close to my children. And so we created this bond. And it all started from the relationship I had with this girl, because she was so close to her parents, I became part of the family. So it's interesting that you can actually develop relationships outside of your bloodline. And that's one of the things that's so nice about developing relationships, and especially self, because it's easy for me now to be able to address my issues. It's very easy for me to do that. I don't have a problem addressing something that I knew I need to work on. I have no issue with that whatsoever. And matter of fact, because it's easier to do that, it's easier to be able to address, it's easier to be able to resolve it, you know, because
yes,
some things take
absolutely.
A little bit longer than others. Some things you can do kind of fairly quickly, but some things take a little bit longer. But at least, and with books like, you know, authors like LaShawn, Having a Woman's Guide to Self-Love, that is part of the puzzle. That is part of, as I mentioned, I said before, that's like my compass. And because of her experience of being a life coach, as well as being a woman, of being an engaged woman, I mean, she has a lot of elements, a lot of components that are in her circle that we were able to share. And because I can pull that from her writing, because what I'm doing, I'm getting a part of her. Because this is all of her experiences. And at the end of the day, that's all we're sharing with each other anyway. We're sharing our experiences. And hopefully, love comes with that. And so she's been able to find, you know, true love with, and let me get that correctly. I want to make sure that I'm getting his name correctly, because he does have an interesting name. Hold on a second.
Lindbergh?
Lindbergh, right. Okay,
Lindbergh. Yes.
Right. Uh-huh. And so I think that because of what you've been able to develop, and what's so nice is because you're speaking about your past, your current, and your future. And so now you are a guiding point, even for myself. You're a guiding point because this is a woman now that has found love, and because she has experienced self-love. And so once she's on experience, she'd actually nurtured it. So once she nurtured her self-love, that put her in a position where now she's able to share that love with someone else. And once you share that love with Lindbergh, now Lindbergh is going to become a better man, because now he has nurtured his self-love. Now, not saying that he wasn't doing it before you, but once he attracted you, you see what I'm saying? Now that he attracted you, that was part of his coming, you know, to terms, and that part of its growth, that's planting. He planted his seed, and as he planted the seed, and as he was nurturing his seed, he was able to blossom to a different part of, you know, of his malehood, or manhood, I should say. And he got to a point where now he was able to attract a person like you. And so, and when you find that energy, and when that energy is right, you know when it's right. You just know when it's right. It's just something that you just know. And then once it is right, it's like tuning. Well, because I have musical ears, it's like fine tuning yourself. It's like fine tuning your instrument. And when you fine tune it, you know when it's off. You know when it's a degree, you know, and you know when it's not vibrating correctly. And so when you have that partner and you have that harmony, no matter what direction you're going in, you know you have somebody that has your back. See, that's the cool thing about having a great relationship. You know somebody has your back. So now you got God, because God put you two together. Now that you have him, you have his family, he has your family. So now there's that village that we all talk about. See, now there's that village. And see, once you have that village, no matter what happens, there is always going to affect multiple people now. So now your harmony, the melody that you and Lindbergh are producing, that is going to run over and it's going to come across to other people's lives and make their lives better, whether it's his sister, his nieces, whether it's your nephews, you know, the people who are coming up behind you. Now you have given them something for them to be able to strive for. And that's what's so great. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And you know, it's interesting that you say that, because we have had older people, whether they're friends, relatives, say to us that it's given them hope so far as being in a relationship. People thinking, well, I've reached a certain age, I'm probably not going to find anyone. And now that they see us together, not that we're old, well, he is, I'm not, but but now that people see our relationship, it really does encourage a lot of people. So the impact of it. And, you know, I remember a guy saying, you know, because we have a very visible relationship. If you look across social media, you'll see pictures of us all over the place. And it was interesting because a friend of his said that he realized after a couple of months, he said he was looking at our pictures, and he said he stopped and he said, wow, this is real. Like, this is the real thing. They really are this happy. And I thought that that was beautiful, that people could actually see it, because it is the real deal. Now, I know a lot of people say, oh, you can't trust what you see on social media. Nobody's that happy. And, you know, this is fake and that's fake. And, you know, as much as I don't believe in being jealous or envious of other people, if there was ever a relationship that you were going to be jealous of, ours would be it, because it really is that. It really is that wonderful. That does not mean that we don't, you know, have problems. It doesn't mean that we agree on everything. But it means that no matter what, in the midst of everything, we always choose love. And we
right.
choose to be happy. And we choose to work it out, because happiness and enjoying our lives is just top priority for both of us as individuals. So when we come together, it's just like, okay, this is affecting our happiness. We need to get rid of it. You know, and it's interesting because yesterday, I don't even remember what we were doing, but he said something to me, and I started cracking up, and he started laughing. And it's funny because all I remember is us laughing. You paid me $1 million right now. I don't know. I'm sure I'd search my brain until I could remember what we were laughing about. But it's just that powerful when you can just sit there and you're laughing to the point of tears, and you're like, I don't even remember what we were laughing about, but I just remember that something happened and we're both just, you know, standing there and we're just cracking up. I mean, just pure laughter. And, you know, it elevates you as a person, and other people can see that in you. So, you know, as an author, as a life coach, when I wrote this book, you know, it really is a reflection of the mission that I came here on this earth to accomplish. And you asked me a question earlier at the beginning of the show that I'd never got a chance to answer, AJ, which was, you know, what made me come into coaching and become a coach? And my honest answer to that is I was born to be a coach. I was born. I was created to not only be a coach, but to be a speaker and to help women live more authentically. So it's really just an extension of me. It wasn't something that I had ever planned on. You know, I even remember years ago, when I used to work in corporate America, and a friend of mine said to me, she said, you know, I think you've missed your calling. Because she just felt that I should be talking to people in relationships and be a relationship counselor. And I remember at the time, I thought that was the craziest thing in the world. I was like, I did not want to sit around and listen to people's problems. And at that phase of my life, I really didn't. And that was how I looked at it. And now I see the beauty in being used as a vessel to help other people heal, because that's all I'm doing. You know, a lot of people will give me the credit for it, but the truth is nobody changes, nobody grows, nobody heals until they want to. When they want to and they're ready to, then they receive the nuggets that come through me. And that's really all it is. I'm just facilitating it. I'm just helping you put the pieces of yourself together, because all the answers that you're seeking, everything that you want, all your desires, they're inside of you. I'm just giving you a couple steps here, a tip there to help you actually grow and develop and get what you want. That's all I do. You're actually doing the work. You know, my clients do the work. You know, when you read through the book, that's why those reflection lessons are in there, to help you do the work, because at the end of the day, it's about you and your progress and what you want out of your life. And for anybody who's been hearing about the book this evening but you have yet to get your copy, make sure you go to IamNotAnOption.com. You can get a paperback copy or an electronic copy. And, you know, we're going to be doing some different trivia things and some other things coming in this year, but we need your participation. So if you have any questions or even comments about this evening's show, make sure you call us. The number is 347-843-4559. Again, it's 347-843-4559. And don't forget to press the number 1 and the star key so that we can bring you on the air.
Excellent. And once again, that number is 347-843-4559. We definitely want you to go to LaShawn's website, and we want you to order the book, and order books with an S, and because give the book to someone else as well. You'll have fun with it. You know, you can
I
take
like
it
that.
And yes, yeah, give the book with someone and then be able to read it. You both can read it together. And whether it's your mate, you know, whatever, it could be just a friend, but someone you may be interested in. You know, it would be very cool, somebody that you're interested in and you're in the early stage of your dating. And, you know, that is a good way of being able to establish a rapport between the two of you. Buy her the book. You guys, get out here and buy the book. Give the book to your mate. And have some fun with it, because I'm gonna tell you, I enjoy it. It puts a smile on my face, and what I like about it is because this book is very informative, and at the same time it does touch your spirit. If you are a person that, if you can allow yourself, because God is always first. God is first, family is second, and if you allow yourself to open up, you're gonna be able to get a lot out of it. You know, because you cannot achieve or receive anything with a closed fist. You just can't. You have to be able to open up. And once you open up, you'll be surprised at the things that life is not as bad as you may think it is. You know, no matter how terrible you may think it is. And trust me, I have been there. I know what it's like. And we are all suffering from something. But you know something? I realize that there's always people out here that are doing worse than you are. And matter of fact, you know, I'm working on a campaign right now with my company that we've developed a homeless app. And so we're doing something that's working with some agencies and trying to, you know, focus our attention through this country to try to help the people that are homeless. And one of the things that I'm going to do is, which I didn't tell LaShawn, is that we're actually going to promote this book with an agency, with a nonprofit organization that helps homeless people. Because at the end of the day, homeless people are basically suffering for lack of a few things, not just monetary, but emotional instability. And self-love is where it all starts. It all starts there, whether you're a male or female. It just so happened this particular book is written by a female and is written towards females. But as she has seen, there has been a male audience with this book. And the reason being is because she touches your heart. And see, one thing about the heart, it doesn't matter if it's in a male or female body. The heart's going to beat. The heart is going to, it's going to, you know, have its rhythm. It doesn't matter. The heart doesn't matter what your gender is. It really doesn't. You know, and that's the nice thing about love. Love is so universal, but it all starts with self-love. You cannot give what you don't have. If you don't have self-love, it's impossible for you to be able to give sustainable love. It's impossible for you to do. It starts with you. So love yourself. Take the time. Take the step. Download the book. Purchase the book, however you have to get it, to do the right thing. And I'm telling you, it's a great read. It is a great read, and you will love it.
Thank
and
you.
We want you to become, it is, and you, it's well-deserved. You well deserve it, LaShawn, because you have taken a lot of time, and we see a lot of you in the book. And
yes.
it's, it, Yeah, we see your love. We see the love that you have put in the book, not just for yourself, but we see the love that you have for others. And that's one of the things that I love about you is the fact that you write for everyone, and your love, it exuberates through your words. And you're not as much as a rebel as I am, but one of the things I do like about you is it's for everyone. You're very universal. And the more I get to know you and the more I get to work with you, I notice that you are basically a very universal person. You care about nature. You care about human nature. You care about people no matter where you're from, no matter what country you're from, no matter what your religion is, no matter what your beliefs are. You care about people. And at the end of the day, it's all one big community. We're just one big community. And the problems that we have in our community, we created these problems. That means that we can resolve these problems. The problems that we do have are problems that can be resolved because it starts with us. It starts with self. If you take care of self, you can take care of the other things that, you know, that that generate from that, because everything generates from self. No matter what your negativity is, it comes from within. So when you take care of within, go ahead, LaShawn.
Well, you know, in tagging along with what you said, and I have to mention here that your relationship with your parents also plays a very big part in your love for self. And there's this connection because, you know, knowing that we are a part of our parents, you know, that they're you know, we came from them, you know, they're a part of us as well. And if you have a relationship, whether it's with your mother or your father, if you can, make sure that you have a happy, healthy relationship with that person. Now, I know just depending on certain circumstances, you may not be physically able to contact that person or be in their presence, but make sure, if nothing else, that your heart and your mind are in a loving, forgiving space when it comes to your parent. Growing up, I did not have the best relationship with my father. We were at odds for much of my young life, and it wasn't until I got older and decided that I really wanted to have a good relationship with my father. And I forgave him for not being around as much as I would have liked to for him to have been. And as a result of that, I was able to have a fabulous relationship with my father, and he just died a year ago, 2 days ago, my father passed, and it was a very sad time for me, but I'm thankful for the rebuilding of our relationship. I am most definitely grateful that he had the opportunity to meet my fiance before he passed, and they even had time to develop a relationship, and it's a really, really beautiful thing. So I'm grateful for that. And it's interesting because one of the things that he, meaning my fiance, that Lindbergh really loves about me was the fact that I had such a good, strong relationship with my father, that I didn't have any daddy issues lingering around, and that made it easier for our relationship to take place. For whatever reason and whatever that means to him, it was very important for us to have that relationship. And we really did, you know, have a really good relationship. So for anyone out there, again, that maybe you don't have the best relationship with your parents, even if you can't get in contact with that person, make sure that your heart is clear, make sure that your mind is clear and open for love. Because if it's one thing that I know about love and relationships and people is that we all do the best we can with what we have. And you never know what demons your parents are fighting, what issues they had with their parents. I mean, there's just so much that goes into why people do and behave the way that they do. So keep all of that in mind. Remember that none of us is perfect, and choose to love them regardless of what happened. You know, choose to be forgiving of that person and really open yourself up so that you don't block any love from coming into your life. And, you know, that's very important, because that played a very big part in me becoming the woman that I am. And I don't even know if you recognize this, AJ, but my book, I Am Not an Option, was dedicated to my father. My very first book was dedicated to my mother and my grandmother. But this one, I felt it was right to dedicate this book to my father.
First things that I noticed. Yes,
okay.
I can hear you.
Uh-huh.
No, I was just saying, it's ironic that you said that, because that's one of the very first things that I noticed was your dedication. And it's so interesting, because anytime that I pick up a book, and one of the first things I do is look to see what the dedication is, because I want to see where the inspiration is coming from that author. And that's just me, because I like to see where not only inspiration, but where they're coming from. And it's coming from something from just personal experiences. Is it something coming from a fantasy? And so that was the first thing that I noticed, was the dedication to your dad. And so that alone told me that it made it much more compelling, because when especially a young girl being raised by her father, and boys being raised by their mother, it is so important, because that's what creates your balance. And mm-hmm. if you don't have a relationship, if you don't have a good relationship with either one of your parents, it is very important, because it's going to reflect, no matter how much you may think it won't. And a lot of people think, well, just because it's been absent, it doesn't affect me. And it's total opposite. When you think that you don't have a relationship, well, it doesn't really affect me because I didn't have a relationship. Well, yes, it does. It does affect you, because you don't have that platform. You lost the platform. If you didn't have the uncle or the grandfather or whatever the other male, you lost that platform. But there's something about the biological parents, because that is where your roots come from. And it's so, so important to be able to get past that. And it took me many, many, many years to get past my issues with my parents. Many years. But the key thing is, I had to be open to it. The good thing is that I was loving my mates, but to limitations. I was very limited in regards to how much love I wanted to give, because there was trust issues. Because when you lose that relationship with your and like for me, for my mom, when my mother abandoned me at the age of 15, it created a wave of trust issues for me. Because
right.
I feel like mm-hmm. the woman, she's the first woman in my life. It's the first woman mm-hmm. that I know. And so if that woman was so willing to give me up, then I felt like, well, shoot, any woman would do it then. If your mother can do it, anybody can.
Mm-hmm.
And right. so it was embedded in my subconscious. And even though I had a pretty decent life, you know, from the time I was 17, 2 years later, I was taken in from an Italian woman. I was living at a YMCA, and about a year, a little bit more than a year later, I was taken in. I was living on my own, and I was taken in by an Italian woman who was a DJ for a major club, and then she took me in. And the interesting part of it was, she didn't take me in. She was a much older woman. She was in her 30s, and I was 16 at that time. And the interesting part of it was, she didn't bring me in on for sexual reasons. That's what was so interesting. She literally was careful about getting involved with me on a sexual basis, and she wanted to. And even though she was attracted to me, but she knew it was wrong. But what I liked is that she was really caring in regards to making sure that I had schooling, making sure that I had a roof over my head, and I had a warm, you know, I had a meal to eat. And so I was very grateful for that. And because of that, I was able to be nurtured, and I was able to rise from that situation because I was a musician. My guitar was my best friend at that time. And because I was a musician, it allowed me to become professional at the age of 17 when I signed with CBS, and then my life kind of took off from there. But at the end of the day, these were key people that were in my life, and I had to be open to allow them to come in too. I had to be open because, yes, there was a void, and I had a very difficult time with the concept of marriage because marriage to me was honestly, it was kind of a joke to me. I never thought marriage was something that, now I looked at, the nice thing is I grew up with a lot of older people, and so I saw marriages that were 30, 40, 50 years, and I thought that was cool. But as I started realizing my peers, they stopped, you know, they were getting divorces 7 years, 10 years, you know, and everybody was getting a divorce, and almost everybody that I grew up with is now divorced. And so I started realizing I don't want to fall in that category. So I said, well, instead of falling in that category, I just avoid it. And then I started realizing that, you know something, that is really what we're all about. It's about developing great relationships with us and developing with others. And so now I think marriage is a great thing. I think it's a great thing. And it, but it took time.
Welcome back.
Yeah. I think it's a great thing.
And you know, and it's funny because that's pretty much what you were asking me earlier. And just what you just said through your experience of watching so many people get divorced and it looks so scary and like, nope, I don't even need to be bothered with all that. But eventually coming around and realizing, yeah, you do want to be with someone that, you know, love is where it is and marriage is a beautiful thing when we do it with the right person and at the right timing. So, yeah, welcome back. And everybody else, join AJ.
And you know what?
Love bandwagon, because love really is wonderful.
And I do have to mention this. Our executive producer, Dr. Kevin Vaughn. Kevin has been married for quite some time as well. Kevin, how long have you been married?
100 years.
Oh, thank you so much. You guys are amazing out there. Ladies and gentlemen all around the world, I want you to know AJ and LaShawn are awesome. What a great topic. I was taking notes tonight. But as of December 20th, 2017, 37 years. Wonderful people.
Awesome. Let me tell you something. I wish I could get Kevin doesn't know this yet, but I'm going to try to get some of his blood. There is something in this guy. I have never caught him on a bad day. He is always, this is a guy that's been married for 37 years, and I know he has children. And, you know, he has a career. So, he's got the whole nine yards. And the thing was so interesting, he always is on, has a good mood. He's never – and I know that he has to feel bad sometimes. I know he has bad days like everybody else. He's human. But he never shows it. He is always, always positive. And, LaShawn, you're the same way. You know, even though I don't
–
you know, but you're the same way. You have such positive energy. But you know something? I kind of tipped my hat to myself when I looked in the mirror and I said, you know what, God, you gave me Kevin and gave me LaShawn. I said, you know what, you must see something. You see something in me, and I must be doing something right, because you brought these people in my circle and you brought them in my life. I got to be doing something right.
I love that, AJ. That's powerful.
Yeah, put a smile on my face.
And the main reason why, LaShawn and AJ, is because we are not an option.
That's right. It's so funny how she's saying that, not an option, because you know what? It literally lifts you to the point where it's like, you know what? You don't have to put up with people's crap. You don't have to sell yourself short. You know, if you think that you're a king, then you be a king. And if you want to go out there, attract your queen. You know, if you think that you if you think that you are better than what you know, what your situation is, then live it. Live it, because there's nothing out there stopping you but you. Just you. Nothing out there stopping you. You can point your fingers all day long to all these people around you. And like I said, it took me many, many years to get past of my mother issues. And you know what? And to this day, I'm taking care of mom. And I love her to death. I love her to death. You know, and I realize she's human. She had issues. She's human.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, she gave birth. You know, I was a twin, and I lost my twin brother. And matter of fact, I lost my oldest brother, lost my younger brother. And I realized that there's still that connection there. And I'm her living son. And so I make sure that's like at the end of the day, when it's time for her to pass, I want her to know that she's being loved. All her sons loved her, and including the situation with me, and I'm the only son that got abandoned. But I wanted to let her know, hey, you know what? It's okay. it's okay because I'm here and God was with us the whole time. He was carrying me the whole time. So that's what love is all about. You know, we are coming toward the end of another awesome, awesome show. And what I'm going to do is ask LaShawn, what is your New Year's resolution?
I don't make them.
You don't make them. Okay. That's a quick one.
I don't make New Year's resolutions. I just know what I want in my life, and I just keep going for it. So whether it's December 31st, January 1st, August 1st, March 10th, it doesn't matter for me. Life is a continual progression, and I treat it as such.
There you go. You go, girl. What about you, Kevin? You got a New Year's resolution?
Well, actually, as LaShawn said, I'm looking at my vision board right now. I've got several goals, gentlemen, and actually, and ladies out there listening, but if I go through the list, it will be another hour. So we're good on goals, but I got my goals set up, and I'll be glad to share those with you guys later. Absolutely.
There we go. Well, you know what? I am going to finish out as I normally do with the dash. And for you new listeners, and before we finish that up, I would like to give a shout out to both of my daughters, Lexi and my daughter, Toya. And special love to my mother, Aisha. And any shout outs for you, LaShawn?
Yes. To all of our listeners here at Love Unlimited Radio, to all the readers of I Am Not an Option, to you and to Kevin and to my family, friends, my fiance. Shout out to all of you.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to give a special shout out to Lindbergh, you know, because you know what? I knew you're a cool
yeah.
brother. You're a cool brother. I ain't going to sit there and be hanging out with you watching the news and stuff, but you know, one day I'm definitely looking
right.
forward to hanging out with you one day. And so I'm going to give a special shout out to you because I am able to have your fiance on our show who is making me a better host. So my shout out goes to you too, Lindbergh. And so the dash, for you new listeners, remember the dash that represents your life. When you die, there will be two dates on your tombstone, the date that you are born and the date of your death. Those two dates are separated by a short dash in the middle. That dash actually represents your life, and it shows that life is really short. So until next week, live your life one day at a time as if it's your last. And remember to cherish yesterday, live today, and dream tomorrow. I'm your host, AJ, along with my co-host, LaShawn, and our executive producer, Dr. Kevin Vaughn. Give someone a huge, huge hug today, and God will smile on you. We'll see you next week. We love you all. Peace.
Never dreamed of. So-
around the world. You've been listening to AJ LeJean on the new Love Unlimited Global Internet Radio program. We thank you so much for joining us tonight, ladies and gentlemen. And we want to encourage you to go to our Twitter account. That's Love UNL Radio. Love UNL Radio on our Twitter account. Hit us up there, ladies and gentlemen, and share that with everybody you know. Hey, on behalf of AJ and LeJean and the team, we thank you so much for joining us. Hey, remember to have a great rest of the day or evening or morning, noon, or night. No matter where it's at on the planet, just enjoy yourself. And remember, things are going to get better. We'll see you next time. This is the new Love Unlimited Global Radio Network with your wonderful hosts, AJ and LeJean. We'll see you next time. God bless you.